Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
I just want to confirm, if offered $56 million, I would definitely stay with my wife. Mm. Kevin then upped it to $56 billion, and now I have to come up with a plan. All right? I'm just... I did ask her if she would take it.
What?
She gets offered $56 billion, but couldn't be married to me. Would you accept that? Currently, I have three dots in my text. So this is a long text she's replying back to me. I feel like there's going to be a lot of qualifiers in this text.
You're done for.
Tell her if she doesn't take it, she's fired like Brian Callahan.
Okay. So, and I wanted to get to that real quick too, Kevin.
Does he have to be number one on the misses list now?
Last four quarterbacks taken first overall have seen their head coach, their first head coach, fired during their rookie season. Cam Ward, Brian Callahan, Caleb Williams, Cowboys defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, who's done it before in the past, so faith that he's going to do it. Bryce Young, Frank Reich, Trevor Lawrence, and Urban Meyer. In their first year, their head, that's malpractice, dude.
Yeah.
Here you are, it's the greatest moment ever. I get drafted number one overall by a team, and it's very likely my coach is so miserable that he won't be here for the rest of the year. That's just atrocious.
Yeah, that is bad.
That is just atrocious. Kevin, I got a text back from my wife.
Should we be doing this on air?
I want to see what she said.
Okay, Alec. Hey, by the way, while you're looking into that, I just wanted to let you know that Daryl Moose Johnston is going to be inducted into the East-West Shrine Bowl Hall of Fame.
Look at him.
If you wanted to know that, just thought I'd throw it out there.
I think we should get him on the show.
Hey, they're going to do a presser tomorrow, so maybe we can.
Kevin, quick answer is no. She would not take the money.
It's dumb.
But obviously... what is meant by not married? Like just legally or like we couldn't be together? And I like the way she thinks, Alec, because she's trying to figure out a plan too.
Nope. Can't see the person, can't talk to him, can't burn her with him. Nothing.
You don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to bury it all. All right.
No, that's fine. I'm going to have an Alice in Borderland type device in you if you violate that agreement. Laser beam.
Oh, dang.
It's a good show. You guys should watch it.
The tracking of the top 10 passers and top 10 rushers over the weekend. Kevin, top 10 passers went 5-5. Respectable record this week. First time this week they have gone 500, except for week four when they went 4-4-2. So,
that's nice. By the way, quick question. Is there any part of you that kind of wanted the Cowboys at some point to tie that game? Because then they would be 2-2-2.
Dude, I thought it was going to happen. I literally thought Carolina's going to miss this field goal attempt. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are going into overtime, and we're going to get as 500 as it could possibly be. Like, I thought that was going to happen. And then Rico Dowdle was like, passers, top 10 passers, 7-3 this weekend.
Ooh.
So, I'm sorry, rushers. 7-3. So that brings the top 10 passer records to 20-28-2, and the top 10 rusher records to 33-15-2.
Run the ball.
I feel like if you can run the ball, you win. Kevin, would you like the hits or the misses?
I'll take the misses.
Honorable mention, only two this time.
Oh.
Because you said I went overboard last time by giving out six or something like that.
That was too many.
Honorable mention goes to the Cowboys' run defense.
Oh, sorry. I was like, what? But, man.
Yeah, Cowboys' run defense, honorable mention. They weren't good. But they also made Bryce Young look like a serviceable quarterback in the NFL, too.
Man, this must be a brutal week if the Cowboys' suck-titude was only an honorable mention on defense.
Yeah, there's a couple other ones I thought were important. Also honorable mention, the Ravens quarterbacks. Cooper Rush had 72 yards. Huntley had 68 yards. And that's just poor quarterbacking.
Yeah.
Just because Lamar Jackson is not around doesn't mean you can't play football anymore. Like you forgot.
Did you see after the fact they were like, we're always going to play both of them? And you're like, mm-hmm.
I do not understand the tremendous drop off in a lot of instances. I understand the talent definitely probably covers up a lot of your terrible play calls.
Right.
But I feel like if you're the best of the best, you figure a game plan out to take best advantage of whoever your backup is. And you shouldn't have that as an excuse. It's the NFL.
Yeah.
But here we are. Let's go. Number three. Tua Tagovailoa. Kevin, 205 yards, three interceptions. Did he throw his teammates under the bus, or did he need to not call anybody out after throwing three interceptions?
So it was really weird because it felt like he was trying to take out the management, but then he told on himself by saying, oh, players don't show up to the players meeting. And I'm like, that's your deal, man.
Yeah. When it comes to Mike McDaniels, I think that if Mike McDaniels had that room, you don't have to worry about a players only meeting and nobody showing up. So I do think that Mike McDaniels is part of that too. I don't know if he's like in it invested anymore. I think he's just like, well, I'm just waiting. He's probably right now going, well, at least I wasn't the first one. But like that thing turned for me, Alec, during the offseason when all the players were like, we lied last year about being together and leadership.
Right.
That was when it turned for Mike McDaniels, who I liked a lot.
The perception on him has changed so quickly
in
such a short amount of time. That's what led me to believe initially that it's all his fault because of how quick that turned around.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to see that these players really don't care either, which is a product of McDaniel himself. I get that. But it's like, dude, the leadership on that team stinks. I can smell it from here, man.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. If you... This goes back to how you always want to be. That's why consistency is so important. I had a teacher in middle school. Early part of the year, she was such a hard ass. And then by the end of the year, it was like, dude, she's the best. And you know what? All that hard work that she put us through early, like, you know, that
set you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then I also had a teacher who she started off as not a hard ass. And then by the end of the year, she wanted control of the room, and everybody in the room was like, no, that's not you. Don't act like you're somebody you're not. We know you. Mike McDaniels was easygoing, cool, fun, and everything. I wanted that to succeed so that
right.
People would be like, no, these are professionals that show up and do their job. And they also have a leader who is out there having fun and understands that this thing can be a lot of fun. But that group, that place in Miami just has a bad vibe about it altogether. Number two, Kevin, on my misses list will be Cam Ward and Brian Callahan now.
Yeah.
Maybe the Titans' entire offensive line. Six sacks, two fumbles, only one interception. That's nice.
So you're here to look at the positives.
Well, yeah, in the misses section. But yeah, now that we see Brian Callahan has been fired, maybe I do bump him up just a little bit, but that's bad for yet another rookie quarterback to come in and now have to deal with another coaching change immediately.
I know it's different in stuff like baseball where probably in basketball and hockey where there's so many more games, but do you think like if they would have won that game yesterday that he would still have his job then?
Maybe.
Okay.
But there's people in that room that are going, how did six sacks and two, like, how did this happen though?
Right.
You know, and that I think, Kevin, you might be right. They might have
I don't know.
They might have set the deadline of, all right, one more of these and he's done.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go into it, you're just like, you know, we'll see. And then it just keeps getting worse. And you're just like, it's not going to get any better. And every employee in that building starts to hate life.
Yeah.
You know, like all the people that are coming in trying to go to work, they're just like, not fun. Don't want to do this. And you're like, why? Because we stink. It's not worth it. And so a change has to be made. And that's what they did there. Number one on the misses list, the Broncos and Jets game. Somebody on the internet said this was the worst thing the U.S. had done to Britain since 1776.
In your face, World War of 1812.
We sent Americans over there to play football. And they have to be sitting there looking at it going, huh.
Do you think they wished, the British, that is, that we'd have just dumped a whole bunch more tea in the harbor again instead?
Maybe so. I do wonder if they were like, dude, this is kind of like one of our soccer matches, you know?
Oh,
low
man.
Scoring. Yeah, that's not much true. Action.
Do you think, where do the Colts fall in this? Did they fall in consideration for they had two injuries in warmups?
Oh, yeah. No, Shane Steichen is my honorable mention right now.
Okay.
Because he, overcame the two injuries in warmups. It is kind of ridiculous to have two injuries happen. Like, yeah. And it wasn't good. Like, they looked bad.
No.
That looked like a bad injury.
And Ward ran into a tight end and had a concussion. And then Anthony Richards is going to be out for, quote, a while with a fractured orbital bone that he did with the rubber leg band.
I thought you were going to say rubber leg, and I was like, when did this happen?
No, he was doing confused. The thing, and I'm assuming it popped up and snapped him.
You ever had that happen?
Yes, not to that degree, but I bet most people have.
Yep, a few times, actually.
Riding
not proud
junk,
of it.
Dude, yeah. Riding the junk, the things
the cheeks.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no way for you not to look like an idiot after that's happened. Mm-hmm. You can't be like, I meant to do that. Yeah, no, you didn't.
Yeah, you ever put the weight back on the rack and then it falls just a little bit and you're like, oh, crap. And then it made a loud noise. And now you're kind of looking around and nobody's looking. And you're like, man, look at society in their earbuds.
Yeah, you're like, I meant to do that.
Take your earbuds off and talk to some humans every once in a while.
Wow.
I don't, but I'm suggesting others. The 954, I'm a Dolphins fan. At least we didn't trade Luka, they say.
Interesting that we've already bypassed Micah, because they're like, you're not going to say at least you didn't trade Micah, because you're like, I can see why maybe that works.
So honorable mention for the hits of the weekend, I will go with Shane Steichen. The dude, overcoming the injuries.
Mm.
Obviously, the band injuries are tough right now. But, dude, he's taken what I did not believe was a good quarterback and turned this in. And I didn't believe this team was good. Now, I don't think they're playing supremely exciting football. It was exciting when their receiver fumbled the ball through the back of the end zone. That was exciting. Jonathan Taylor's been exciting.
Agreed.
This is a team that I was like, I just go ahead and put a line through them. I think everybody was wrong about them. And he has found the model for consistency for what they need to accomplish this year. I'm very interested. I don't know. I believe it's very much like the Vikings. This is what I believe, that it's very smoke and mirrors, and somebody's going to dive in late in the season and go, oh, that's what they're doing. They aren't going to be able to adjust whenever we expose the blueprint on them. But right now, for everybody in Indianapolis, especially that Colts mascot, like, they have got to be loving life. You ever seen his hip thrust? They're so good. Honorable mention also, Devon Achane, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's nice work right there for a team that lost.
Did he play against us? Sorry, I heard lots of yards and touchdowns. I assume he played the Cowboys.
Honorable mention, the 2-sack club. 10 players had 2 sacks this week. That's the most that players that have 2 sacks this year by 4.
Wow, really?
Yeah, most they've had so far has been 6. They had 10 players this week that had at least 2 sacks. That's pretty impressive.
None of them were Micah, who didn't even have 1 sack.
How many Cowboys players had sacks this weekend?
Hey, James Houston has more sacks than Micah Parsons.
This weekend?
Well, I think
I'm serious.
The same this week.
Okay. Dang it. I really wish he would have had 2. That would have been awesome.
Sorry.
But include him in the 2 sack club?
No.
Number 2, or number 3 in the hits, George Pickens and Jackson Smith and Jigba. 9 catches, 168 yards, 8 catches, 162 yards, respectively, and a touchdown for both of them. Nice work on both of their parts. Also doubling up at number 2, Dak Prescott and Drake May, 261 yards and 3 touchdowns apiece. Exactly. How did you manage that?
Doesn't that make Pickens and JSN 4th and 5th?
See what he's trying to do here?
This is what you're doing.
Yeah. They're 3rd and 2nd. And number 1 is Rico Dowdle, Kevin, because the Cowboys didn't have enough buckles.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They didn't buckle enough of the buckles up, or they buckled it too loosely.
He's the first Cowboy. He's the first former Cowboy to run for 100 plus yards against the team.
That's an amazing stat. I heard Brad Sham say that, and it was Zach Rowe that I do believe was given that statistic. But that is an amazing stat to me. In the history of the Cowboys, no former running back has ever run for 100 yards against them. Maybe that's because they run them into the ground and then send them off.
Wow.
If they're going to be good,
they should have done a better job of that with Dowdle then.
Well, he was injured a lot, so he had a lot of tread left in those tires.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some baseball nuggets. History in Seattle with a potential for more on the way. Next right here on The Fan.
3-2.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. And we start with one of the more historic playoff games ever. So, and in the meantime, by the way, the Mariners have also gone up 1-0 in the ALCS.
As predicted.
Not by me.
Kevin, what made this historic? Because I got a text at some point in that game that said, you boys are watching a classic one right now.
So, the longest winner-take-all game in Major League history was 13 innings in a 2018 wildcard game between Colorado and Chicago. This game went 15 innings, and it was decided in the bottom of the 15th, so longest ever for a winner-take-all baseball playoff game. It went 4 hours and 58 minutes. Mm. The two sides combined to use 15 pitchers who threw 472 pitches, and like most things in this playoff run, this is the first time the Mariners have advanced to the ALCS since 2001.
Okay. Now is where I want to dive in a little more, if you're okay with that.
Sure, because there's lots of things inside this game that are interesting, too.
When you have a game like that, when you have a playoff game, because I feel like the 4 hours is too long for baseball is what they told us.
And it was almost 5.
That's why they wanted to put a pitch clock on there. They're like, let's shorten this sucker. However, I understand how things are going. At what point, Kevin, in extra innings are you like, that's enough? And because you start a baseball game and you're like, all right, let's go. You've made it through 9 innings. You're like, crap. All right. I can handle another one.
So,
and then you get to 15 and you're like, it's still intense. I feel because it's playoff baseball.
It had the advantage of being on a Friday night.
Yes.
So it depends on what, if you have kids, what their schedule looks like in the morning, or if you signed up for like a half marathon or something. That will determine that I need this game to be over, right? Because if you did, yeah,
that's for sure.
Then you're like, hey, wrap it up. But if you didn't, then I could see how you'd be like, hey, keep going. But you know what? You know what's going to get lost in all of this is Tarik Skubal. You know, we talked about how, man, the Mariners were going to be in a lot of trouble because of Tarik Skubal. Well, when he was pitching, they were in a lot of trouble. Tarik Skubal was freaking amazing in this game. Six innings, gave up one earned run, and had 13 strikeouts. Of the possible 18 outs, he had 13 strikeouts. And his last pitch was 101 miles per hour to potential MVP Cal Raleigh, and he struck him out. His 99th pitch of the game was dialed up for 101, had 13 strikeouts. Well, congratulations, your season is over. So I believe that was the only divisional round series that didn't start 2-0. All the teams that were up 2-0, including the Brewers, they ended up winning their series, which means when a team is up 2-0 in the divisional round, they win 34 out of 37 times.
Really?
Yes. So the Brewers get the victory over the Cubs, and they move to their first NLCS since 2018. Now, the reason why it's weird to talk about that, especially with the AL, is because that game was historic. But in the meantime, the Mariners have already started a new season or a new series, and they have already taken the advantage 1-0, and game two is in about 2.5 hours.
Let's go.
All right.
You want to watch together? I'll FaceTime you and we can just watch it.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Well, today is not a great day.
I got into some dog training.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. Who do you think? Now, I know it's easier because the Mariners are up 1-0. Who do you think is going to win that series?
I think the Mariners.
Okay.
Are they up 1-0?
Yeah. Yes. They are up 1-0.
What are the odds, Kevin?
Well, keep in mind these predictions were made before game one, but it was 8 for the Mariners on ESPN and 7 for the Blue Jays.
Oh, wow. I still think it has a lot of potential to be a very fun series because these are two offenses that can slug.
Sure.
Like that, and that can change a game so drastically. Like just go back and remember the Astros Rangers series. Two teams that could slug. Every night was kind of a back and forth. You didn't know. And whenever that happens, a game can change so fast. So I think that it can still be a very fun series.
In the National League, you taking the Brewers or the Dodgers?
I'm going to say the Brewers.
Okay.
The Dodgers have everything, Kevin. They have everything they could possibly need. But I kind of want that underdog Brewers, who's also been the overdog, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I kind of just want them. I would feel like they're the underdog in general to the Dodgers because who the Dodgers are.
Well, if you got the Brewers, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit more tomorrow as well. If you got the Brewers and the Mariners in the World Series, you'd be guaranteed a first ever first time champion because the Brewers have only been to the World Series once, I think in 82, and they lost. And the Mariners have never been to the World Series. You're already guaranteed a first time ever World Series matchup coming out of these two championship series. But for ESPN, 10 votes for the Dodgers, 5 for the Brewers.
I understand. You know, about 3/4 of the way through the year, everybody starts freaking out going, we want, you know, big markets to play, you know,
sure.
But I kind of want the very first matchups ever to all run their way out. I would love for like everybody to have their opportunity to have one of those matchup type things.
Now, a couple of notes on these series, Bo Bichette, not on the ALCS roster for Toronto. I know this is kind of when they zeroed in on hoping that he would be back, still not good to go. And then Brian Wu was in fact added to the Mariners roster. Thought that would be the case. For the Dodgers, Blake Snell is going to pitch game one, and then Shohei will pitch later in the series. That series gets underway this evening as well.
Fascinated to see Snell on this stage. You know, still, like, he's one of those guys that on a given night can do something very special.
Yes, I agree.
Maybe not throw 101 miles an hour on his last pitch, but
that was
to the potential MVP.
Yeah, that was freaking sweet.
Yeah, that is cool.
Now, in other baseball news, We're going to have Pudge on the show tomorrow.
In your face.
Also, Padres manager Mike Schilt announced his retirement. Do you think there's any truth to the rumor that he already heard 16 of Preller's 17 offseason moves? And he's like, it's too many. I can't.
I thought that you were saying Pudge and him were going to be on the show. I was like, how did we pull this?
Man, what a coup that would have been if Alec, like 10 minutes after that dude resigned, he was like, yep, we got him. He's going to be on the show. And you're like, did you tell him we were in the San Diego area? And he's like, no.
He just knows that y'all used to know Preller. Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
The quote that he had, Kevin, was pretty jarring. I looked in the mirror and realized I don't have the energy to go back through another 90 win season and a chance to make the World Series. I don't have it in me. Like that right there was rather, who does that?
Yeah.
Who says I have this great team and I'm looking at it going, I just can't do this one more time.
It's the most ridiculous claim in the history of baseball.
Thank you.
You know what? Every single time they do the two shot with Smoltz, that's all I can think. Like, he's saying other things.
You hear that?
But all I can hear him saying is it's the most ridiculous claim in the history of baseball.
But, like, I do wonder if that was a real thing or if he kind of knew, all right, my time is up.
His time is here. Some other guy's time is
Now. And he's like, look, they let me leave out here this way.
Do you guys feel like there's been buzz on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This Major League Baseball postseason?
Not as much.
Okay.
I feel like I think there's a lot of excitement for what Riley's doing, and I think there's a lot of excitement because of the stars, but I just didn't feel like it was the same for whatever reason.
All right. So I will be curious to see, with that in mind, what these next set of ratings look like in the ALCS and NLCS, because the wild card round averaged 4.6 million viewers for ESPN and ABC. That's the most watched wildcard round since they switched to the new format, albeit that was only 3 years ago, but still. And then game three of Yankees Red Sox set a new single game record for the wildcard round at 7.4 million. But obviously neither one of those teams are in there now. And let's be honest, I'm not saying the baseball won't be great, but Seattle Toronto is a huge drag in terms of United States television ratings. But another place for you to look, since the Dodgers are still in it, in Japan, game one of Dodgers-Cincinnati Reds drew a record 6.4 million viewers in Japan alone. So as long as the Dodgers remain in this, you can keep popping big ratings in Japan.
That $700 million contract pushed off to 15 years from now is going to pay off so well.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no question that Shohei is the face of baseball.
And the Dodgers are the brand of baseball right now in Japan.
Agreed. So you have no doubt that Major League Baseball is heavily cheering against the Brewers. They're like, come on, you already screwed us with this ALCS matchup. We need the Dodgers in the World Series. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I got just a second, wanted to throw another thing out there. Cooper Flag, have you been paying attention to Mavericks preseason? Do you care whatsoever?
I've never had this much anticipation for preseason basketball before, but I'm getting emails from the Mavericks every day. My Twitter is blowing up with this stuff. And I did see Kevin. Was it Friday night?
It was Saturday.
Saturday. Flag was all over my Twitter. Like, it was just, oh my gosh, 11 points. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening right now? But he looked like dude, he had some offensive game rolling that you said he never had.
That
you were like, he's not very good at offense.
That is most certainly inaccurate.
He might be a fringe top 74 player, you said.
I definitely learned my lesson the last time. No, he hit the wing three, but I think what really caught people's attention,
his mid-range game was fun.
Yes, was the pass from right about mid-court, and he just
Yeah, that was awesome.
I know Adam Silver's like, that's the only part of the game that you really needed to see.
The highlights. Highlight
culture. But now, in the least surprising...
But it does look like he is handling the ball up the court. He is doing those things that we discussed he might do.
He can do that. I maintain in the short term, that is not something you want him to do consistently. Like, could he learn? And you might argue that's the only way he'll really learn. I think he can run the point when necessary, just not on a consistent basis. Even with Kyrie out.
As young as he is.
I don't think that's the answer.
If Jason Kidd can be a good teacher, can you imagine if he lets Jason Kidd's mind meld with his a little bit and you take that physical skill set and merge it with Jason Kidd's IQ?
One of the greatest minds in basketball history. Now, and they did the NBA GM survey. And who's going to win Rookie of the Year? This was amazing. 3% voted for VJ Edgecombe with the Philadelphia 76ers.
What a bunch of chumps.
All the rest of the 97% of the votes voted for Cooper Flagg.
Fortune favors the bold.
Thank you, Nico.
Okay, Nico.
We've always said that.
Are you impressed, or in Corey Majors fashion, are you disappointed
that it wasn't 100%?
That it wasn't 100%.
Look, I don't know what those other 3% were thinking. I am impressed, yes, Kevin, because I think the same thing. He's already, he's advanced already. What were those other? Why?
Okay. You're going to get a little bit more irritated.
However, if they end up being right, won't they have the ones?
See, this feels like a Corey vote.
Yeah.
Where you'd be like, yeah, but if he's right, who's the genius?
Yeah, exactly.
In 5 years, who will be the best player out of this draft class? Every other rookie combined from general managers got 7% of the vote. Cooper Flagg got 93% of the vote.
So whenever we were excited about Cooper Flagg and there were detractors, this is why.
Guess what? Just about every single GM views it exactly the way that we do.
And somebody called him knockoff Luka.
Wow. I mean, look, I don't think he has that total same level of offensive ability. He's already, I don't know, 5 times better at defense than Luka is.
Is 3% one GM?
Yeah, I think so. Because
probably Nico.
This was probably one of the things where they also took scouts and everything.
He's already trying to degrade Flagg's value. He's like,
so when we trade him,
how can I get less of a trade
for Kevin Durant? He's going to be like, I told you.
That was all in jest, guys. I'm just joking.
And then, by the way, Bill Belichick said any reports that he's negotiating a buyout are categorically false.
Really?
That's what he said. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Little play fake, rolling right, good protection, throws it over the middle. Nice catch at the 30. Pickens one-handed, hurdles a man to the 10. Oh, Pickens showing his athleticism. Snatched the ball away from the Carolina defender, Roseboom, the linebacker, and took it 31 yards down the left sideline.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Doing all right, Higgy. How are you?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to put it. Doing all right after the atrocious Cowboys defensive effort yesterday. Now, I know you guys were talking about this yesterday in the post, and I thought it was really fascinating for all the people who want to just move on from your defensive coordinator. This is an issue that is far more complex than switch the coordinator and you're fixed, right?
I think so. I don't believe that there are a ton. One, who's the leader on that side of the football? I don't think you have one. I think you definitely have a lack of talent on that side of the football. And I thought Brian made some really great points about, like, well, who do you turn to then? Who do you elevate to then take over that responsibility? Because really, and Bobby texted this in, Nick Sorensen would be the only guy on staff that's actually been a defensive coordinator before. He's your special teams coordinator. He did that in San Francisco. I believe he took over when Sala took the Jets job, and he didn't do well. That's why they ended up moving him over to special teams, and they brought in Steve Wilks, I think is who it was. So I don't think there's an easy answer. I think you do have a coaching issue, and you also have a player problem.
Did he forget to tell our returners yesterday that they need to field the kickoffs?
Yeah, I guess the Panthers have been really good at that this year.
Yeah, they kicked a dirty ball.
Kicked that dirty ball.
It looked like we assumed it was going to fall out of the end zone, and then we're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, that was weird. There was so much to hate about yesterday, and that's on the list.
Good. I think
it's on the list. It made the list.
Now, the lack of talent on the defense, because I feel like so many people say, well, get rid of Eberflus, because that's an easier way than to systematically look at the lack of talent that you have on defense, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can replace a coach much quicker than you can replace an entire unit of crappy players where you don't have a bunch of backups that you're excited about either. Like, hey, let's give these guys an opportunity. It's just bad across the board. And so that is ultimately going to be problem number one. The Eberflus situation is not good at all. He's not helping anything. And you can see the difference. Like, you talk about talent. When you had four backups on your offensive line, you still were able to figure crap out last week.
Right.
Right? So there's still something to be said for getting the best out of your talent, no matter how dire that talent is. But it is tough when you basically have 11 crappy players on one side of the
ball. Well, it too, though, in the best example of this is the first play of the game on defense.
Yep.
They take Wanye Thomas and they drive him down in the box and he's free on a play. So they have a free runner and all of a sudden he misses the tackle at the line of scrimmage and then it's a gain of 9. So is that the coach or is that the players?
Player.
Yeah. And I think they have a combination of both here. I think they're asking, you know, maybe on the 4th-and-4 play, if, you know, that's a play that Sean Lee makes, that's a play that Dat Wynn makes. You know, if you're going to buzz
Kenneth Murray undercutting the football,
if you're going to buzz the linebacker in the flat, and you need to, and he's maybe trying to disguise it a little bit. If you're going to do that, then you make sure you have a linebacker. We've seen these linebackers when they play that cover two with that Tampa with the run the middle linebacker up the middle of the field, and they haven't gotten there yet. That should be a pretty good example that you might not want to play that coverage. And so, to me, the coaching. I asked this question to my guys the other day. I go, what have the offensive coaches done that the defensive coaches haven't this year? And a lot of it has to do is I think the offensive coaches understand their players far better than the defensive coaches understand theirs when it comes to how they put these players. If you continually and they got in a situation this game, one of the touchdown passes, you know, the second one that Wilson gave up, it's like you have Diggs on a tight end. Diggs sends Wilson away thinking like, no, stay there. I got this. So what happens, Diggs essentially put Wilson in coverage against Tet McMillan, where maybe that should have been Diggs' responsibility. So those kinds of checks, that's coaching, that's player. There's a lot of things going on here.
Well, you know, when the games first started and we were 2-3 games in, I thought Eberflus was the bigger problem because this team was stopping the run and you just had the busts. And I'm like, well, he hasn't explained it to them. He hasn't done a good enough job teaching whatever man match quarters or whatever they're playing, and it's new and he's putting his players in a bad. Now that you can't even stop the run, I'm convinced it's a much bigger player issue than a coaching issue. The track record of these guys, Brian, is they aren't good.
Yeah.
And they put a lot of tape over the last multiple years of that. Eberflus's track record is he is good. So I'm not going to let these games change my opinion too much on who Matt is. It's just a matter of, do you want to be patient enough to get him the players that he would need to turn this thing around?
Yeah, I think the bigger problem is I think the run defense never was exposed fully because the pass was so easy for teams to move the ball. You know, the lack of pass rush the lack of quality play in the secondary.
Yeah.
I think teams all along could have run the ball against this defense. I just don't think, I mean, we started to see it. You started to see some glimpses of it, like in the Giants game, like when Scataboo, like later in that game, that game just kind of got crazy. But you look at how the Bears were able to run. You look at now last week, even with the Jets, they were down, but they still ran the ball. And then all week long, we talked about the path to victory for Carolina was them to run the football. And they did just exactly that.
At the very least, do you need to start putting Donovan Wilson in different places? I'm not saying
he might need to come off the field
altogether.
Yeah. I mean, he might need to come off the field. There are things, well, especially if you're going to, they played him down some and it wasn't good enough, you know? So this team is really, really right now pretty bad up the middle of its defense. You know, and you can, and then there's, like I say, they did another great job. They double teamed Oso Digizua and single block Clark. And
Clark couldn't make
Clark,
him
Clark couldn't Clark make the play. Yesterday. Yeah,
that's a really troubling thing to see.
They doubled your three and carried him all the way to the linebackers. And so, it was a rough day playing run defense yesterday.
Now, this is just a philosophical issue. The game was lost for a variety of reasons. Why on 3rd-and-1 does the pitchback 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage exist in your playbook?
Coaches, I mean, if you're the Panthers, you could probably make that work.
That's
you
fair.
Know.
But on this day,
they were just running the ball too much in general. I mean, the whole time, every time they handed the ball off, you're going like, what are we doing? This is clearly not working. And that was ridiculous. I mean, the whole problem is going to be about the defense today, but I don't know what Schottenheimer was doing running the ball. That situation was brutal. In general, running the ball in that game was just never going to work for you. Yeah. Dak and Pickens are rocking and rolling, and you're throwing a freaking back-to-back screen plays to lose a bunch
and
of yards.
Dak needs to throw that ball into the ground on that second one.
Yeah, like
maybe he was trying to.
Well, he should have done the thing where he's smarter than the coach and changes the play at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
like
the Ferguson.
That fourth quarter was just really, really bad offensively too.
Yeah. What do you find fellas got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. Hagee, yes. Thanks for asking. We will not let this loss deter us from producing quality content here over the next 5 hours. We have Krusty's Corner coming up after the Shoddy Presser, which is scheduled for 3:15. So you'll be in the Cowboys paradise there. All of our reactions and all your big local stories right out of the gates here in about 5 minutes.
All right. I like it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.